Time now to see sport differently. Or I suppose it could be just leisure or fun rather than hardcore sport. But running is something which we can do quite inexpensively. And even if you're blind or partially sighted, find yourself a guide runner, someone to come with you, and you're off group for your health, your mental well-being. It can be for fun, or perhaps you could take on a marathon for fundraising, maybe. Well, to talk to us a little bit more, we've got Dave Williams from RNIB, who I think it's fair to say, Dave, you're a bit of a running fan.
I've got a bit carried away, to be honest, but I haven't always been that way. I only started running probably about 3 years ago. You know, I was quite heavy. I couldn't run a bath, and I certainly didn't bother running upstairs if the phone was ringing. So I used to do a little bit of tandem cycling, and for various reasons, my tandem pilots became injured or moved to Brazil. And I was really looking for another tandem pilot. And there isn't any kind of database, as far as I'm aware, for finding a tandem pilot. But I knew that British Blind Sport and England Athletics had created a database for guide runners. And so my kind of motive was to get one of these guide runners and see if I could persuade them to go on the front of my bike. So this guy came round to my house in his trainers and was ready to go out for a run. I thought, oh my goodness, I'm going to have to go through with this. It was really hard. I mean, I literally would not run for a bus. So I started off sort of walking, and then this chap, Steve, he said to me, are you ready? Let's go. And it felt like we took off at an incredible pace. And, you know, it really wasn't that fast at all. And after about 10 seconds, I came spluttering to a halt. And Steve said, let's just walk for a bit. By the time I got enough breath back to apologize, Steve said, look, Dave, you're talking now, so that means you can run. Let's go again. And I was starting what I later learned was the Couch to 5K. And it's a whole program that's tried and tested for people to get you started with running. If you've never done any running before, you literally just start off with half an hour of walking with just a few little gentle short jogs within that time. And over a period of a couple of months, you kind of build that up so that you end up doing kind of more running than walking. You get up to running 5 kilometers, which conveniently is the distance of your local park run. And if you're not familiar with park run, there are hundreds of these free 5 kilometer runs up and down the country, in fact around the world, every Saturday morning. And you literally just go along and you can get involved. So yeah, I did Couch to 5K, and I wondered how far I could go with it. You know, if you could run 1 mile, then maybe with a bit of practice, you might be able to do two. And so I got to 3 miles, which is nearly 5K, and it grew from there.
How do you build up that trust? Because if you're blind and you're running with a guide runner, you know, it's not perhaps something which you think, yeah, I can do this, and off you go. There has to be an element of trust there for them to guide you or describe the terrain, because at the end of the day, you don't want to fall, you don't want to run into anything.
Yeah, and that can be tough at first. So I would recommend just starting out with a walk. You know, at the very beginning, you might hold on to somebody's elbow and use the kind of the classic sighted guiding technique, and then try a little bit of a jog, you know, find somewhere that's safe, a nice wide flat path with no obstacles, and obviously let somebody know where you're going. I mean, the beautiful thing about the database, if you find a guide runner through there, is everybody's been DBS checked, and they've also done some visual awareness training as well. So that does give you a little bit of confidence. But any lasting partnership will involve developing a relationship with that person and building up that trust. And that comes with time and both communicating with each other, because, you know, remember, your guide runner, they're going to be a little bit nervous too, because they don't know, are you going to do what they ask of you? Are you going to be reliable? Are you going to be good company? Because particularly when you start doing longer runs, you know, you're spending a lot of time with another person. So it's a bit like developing a relationship with a PA or somebody else. But there's no money changing hands. There's no kind of financial transaction. It's not an employment kind of relationship. So I've become really good friends with some of my regular guide runners. I would recommend that you build up a bit of a team as well, because obviously if one person isn't available, you might feel disappointed. So important to have, you know, maybe half a dozen people that you can run with on a fairly regular basis. And then I also invested in a treadmill as well. So if there are no guide runners available, at least I can still do some running.
Now, in, I would say, is a relatively short space of time, you've gone from, as you said, you know, overweight, wheezing, if you walk too far, and you know, no one to walk up the stairs, to someone who's now just been accepted for the Boston Marathon. I mean, that's quite a change in a short space of time.
Yeah, it is. I mean, I needed to have something to kind of offset my poor life choices of crisps and beer and whatever else. And it had to be something that I enjoyed. And I never imagined that running would be something that I would enjoy. But once I started meeting guide runners and once I got to Park Run, I felt connected with the local community in a way that I hadn't before. And also in park running circles, there's a tradition of park run tourism. So people like to travel to neighboring park runs or even further afield, and you get the same kind of vibe there. So I started to discover this whole kind of community of runners, and that really helped give me an enthusiasm for it, and I wanted to try harder. Because what I found was that, you know, even the best runners, the really fast runners, actually have an incredible generosity of spirit. If you're a bit slower or if you're new to it, you know, there's a lot of support there, because I think the faster runners recognize that if you're a bit slower, you're running for that much longer. So I thought, well, I'm going to work at this. I'm going to keep chugging away. And from Parkrun, then I decided to have a go at a 10K. And then I was involved in the campaign to ensure that guide runners were properly recognized by London Marathon, which they are now. So guide runners completing the London Marathon will receive an official finisher's medal, and their time will be in the results. So I was a bit involved in that. And I came back from the pub one night and I thought, well, you know, I'm a runner now. What do other marathons do around the world? And I went online and I entered the ballot for the New York City Marathon. And I woke up the following morning with a bit of a hangover and realized the error of my ways and hoped that my ballot entry would be unsuccessful. And unfortunately for me, about a month later, I received an email from New York Roadrunners to say, actually, dear Mr. Williams, congratulations, you've got a place in the New York City Marathon. And I thought, well, the one thing I did have on my side was time. I had about 9 months to prepare. I mean, I was due to run London Marathon in 2020. Obviously, that didn't happen. Eventually, there was an in-person London Marathon last October. So I took part in that. And then somebody said to me, if you've run New York and London, then you've got 2 stars. You've done 2 of the 6. And it turns out there are a series of major marathons around the world, the 6 most popular, most prestigious marathons around the world. And London and New York are 2 of those. And the other 4 are Boston, Chicago, Berlin and Tokyo. And well, I don't know about you, Alan, but if you've done 2 out of 6 of something, it's quite tempting to kind of crack on. I think, well, if I do one more, I'm sort of halfway there. So, I started entering the others. And luckily for me, I got a place at this year's Boston Marathon, which is on the 18th of April, Easter Monday. It started in 1897 by athletes returning from the first modern Olympic Games who decided that, you know, Boston was a kind of Athens of the West, you know, a center of learning, and therefore, you know, it should also have a marathon. So it's steeped in history.
Sounds like it's going to be fab, and racking up the air miles if you do the 6 as well there, Dave. Just finally, you know, if there are blind or partially sighted people listening and they haven't been bitten by the running bug, maybe they're looking, you know, as you say, you'd want to get fit, you know, mental health as well, hugely important. I mean, how do you encourage someone to do something like that?
The first thing I would say is just try and get out for a bit of a walk, even if it's only to the end of the street or around the block. Just start really, really small. And if you don't feel confident doing that by yourself, just sort of mention, you know, to friends or family, actually, you know, I'd really like to go out for a walk, and just try and start doing that, you know, 2 or 3 times a week. And if you really want to give running a go, then perhaps look for the Find a Guide database and contact a guide runner and just say, look, I'd like to start off, you know, like to do couch to 5K. And you literally only need a pair of trainers just give it a go. I mean, I look back now and I don't want to stop, because I remember how challenging it can be to get started. And you've got to dig deep in terms of finding that confidence to give it a go. But it truly is worth it, because suddenly you start to feel different about yourself. And when you're in the shower afterwards, you know, you feel like you've really achieved something. And, you know, I already mentioned about connecting with your local community, your local running club, your local park run, finding out what's happening in your area. And I think it's a great way for blind and partially sighted people to break down those barriers, because it increases your visibility in your community if you're seen out, you know, running, or you're at park run. And also, eventually, people accept you as just another runner.
Dave, best of luck with the marathon. We'll hopefully catch up with you after it, find out how it all went and what you thought of it. And thank you for joining us on RNIB Connect Radio.
Thank you.